What a joyous occasion. Amen. Some prayers are prayers for deliverance. Some prayers are prayers for health. Some prayers are prayers for want. Some are prayers of praise. And some are prayers of thanksgiving. And then there are special prayers. The kind of prayers that are soul-bearing. Prayers that come from a place from the deepest part of human beings that communicates with their God. Speaking only to Him, not fashioning their words for the satisfaction of others. I'll be in 1 Kings chapter 8. Upon finishing the work in building the temple and bringing the ark into the most holy place. I'll back up into chapter 7, verse 51. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. I really want you to close your eyes and get this picture of this temple, of this moment, of this day. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. It's a momentous occasion that day too. Amen. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house of the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves. Why did they do that? Because it was staying. They didn't have to carry it anymore. And the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel. When they came up out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon. The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I have set there a place of the ark wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promisest him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. So that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell in the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, My name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray towards this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. Amen. I would like to read all of this prayer. But Solomon goes on in this prayer, and he says, if any trespass here. He says, if when thy people are smitten down, turn and confess, then hear from heaven and forgive. He says, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, hear from heaven. And he says, if there be famine, hear. And he says, when a stranger comes out of a far country for thy name's sake and prays, hear. And he says, if thy people go out to battle the enemy, hear. When any man turns his face towards this house and prays, hear from heaven. This is Solomon's prayer. Amen. If they sin against thee, are taken captive, and they repent and turn towards this place, hear their cries. This is Solomon's prayer at this dedication for this temple. Solomon built the physical house of God. What a dedication prayer that was. What a prayer. What a day. The oxen that were slain couldn't even be told for number. What a day. God has a resting place. What a day that God had blessed their labors. And the desire of King David to build him a house. But you know, David had it in his heart to build the house for God. And Nathan the prophet, before he went to bed that night, said, if it's in thine heart, do whatever's in thy heart, David. But God told Nathan something. He said, no. How are you going to build me a house? I dwell in the heavens. And he tells Nathan, you go tell David, not only is he not going to build me a house, but I'm going to build him one. And so this is that Solomon, he said, one that comes out of your loins is going to build my house for my dwelling place. Oh, now, Solomon built that house, didn't he? But that wasn't a house God was talking about.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
There's another dedication prayer. Turn to John chapter 17. You remember Solomon dedicated that house after all the work was finished. This is the prayer of Jesus Christ at the dedication of his house. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him.
Amen.
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Nobody wants to dedicate something that's not finished, do they? Isn't it strange that Jesus says that I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do? And yet he had not been nailed onto a cross yet. You know how Jesus could say, I've finished it? It's because he knows all things.
That's right.
There is no time with him. He's timeless. You can't put him in a box, and you certainly can't keep him in one. He's not bound by physical borders. Nothing impedes him. He is all powerful. He's all knowing. And this, he could say, I've finished the work, because he was about to. I've finished the work. And this is Jesus' dedication prayer to his house. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And I have and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I'm glorified in them. You see how when Jesus begins to hammer a nail, he doesn't just hammer it once. He keeps on hammering the nail. And when it's seated, he hammers it one more time. He says, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and they are thine. Did you hear the hammer hit the nail? It's not just a little ball peen hammer. We're talking about a sledgehammer. Are you? Do you ever feel like maybe you're not his? Listen to the surety in this prayer. You know, did you notice a difference? Are you beginning to notice a difference in these two dedication prayers? You know how many times that Solomon said, if they do something, if they do something, when they do this, and they turn and they hear. My friends, this prayer, this dedication prayer, doesn't have any wishy-washy words or sentimentality about it. My friends, Jesus Christ, when he prayed with rock-solid surety, knowing that his Father was going to do it and that he was going to do it. And there wasn't any uneasiness or uncertainty in these words. He said, all mine are thine, and thine are mine.
Amen.
Now, he says, I've given them all my... And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou has given me, that they may be one as we are. Do you really grasp the gap between God and man? Do you really understand how far separated human beings were from God? after the fall? Do you really understand the great gulf that was spanned by Jesus Christ? Do you understand how strong He was, and the work that He had to do was to redeem those that were lost, that were His? That group that God gave Him before the foundation of the world had to be paid for. And Jesus Christ is in this dedication prayer saying, I'm about to pay the redemption price for my people, that they may be one as we are one. Isn't that amazing? How one is Jesus Christ with God the Father? How one is Jesus Christ with the Spirit? How one are they all in the Trinity? There's unity in the Trinity. And not one member of the Trinity can do anything that's outside the will of the other two. They're all in perfect conformity with one another. And Jesus Christ prayed for you, that you would be one with Him, just like He is with God. What a prayer. One day, I'm going to see Him as He is.
Amen.
While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I've kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to Thee.
Yeah.
And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. My friends, if you don't have joy, you're just not looking to the house that Jesus built. You're not praying towards that place. And you're not very thankful for the house that He built either. If you don't have joy, if you're searching for joy today, I can tell you that it's only going to be found in this house. It's only going to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at places where His name is proclaimed. He says, I've given them Thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know what that means? That means this wasn't your first place, and it's not going to be your last place.
Amen.
That means you didn't come from here, just like Jesus didn't come from here. He didn't derive from this place. He came from somewhere greater. And you, as children of God, you might have had your physical existence, I guess, originated here. But Jesus said, they're not of the world. The world don't have nothing in you. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as Thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through Thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Did you hear the sledgehammer again? As Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. Wow. That they may be one, even as we are one. Did you hear it again? I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Boy, do you know that every time Jesus prayed, God answered his prayer. You know why? Because Jesus never prayed something outside of the will of God.
Amen.
And if Jesus says that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that gives me great comfort of soul. That lets me know this is not my last place. He says, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Amen. He didn't just start loving Jesus when he was born of Mary. He didn't start loving you when you was born of your parents.
That's right.
He chose you, I guess, about as long as he loved Jesus. From before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, I don't know about. There's no time. That's amazing, isn't it? O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a dedication prayer for a house.
Amen.
Did you know back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, this is the covenant that God made with David. In chapter 7 and verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled, he tells David, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom.
Amen.
He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Did you know that Solomon's throne didn't last forever, did it? Oh, he sat on the throne. He sat on his father's throne in an immediate fulfillment of this covenant promise. But my friends, Jesus Christ, Solomon built that physical house, didn't he? But oh, Jesus Christ built that spiritual house for God, and he sits on that spiritual throne as king forever. And he's still sitting there, and not one person, not all the devils in hell can't unseat him from his throne of kingship. My friends, it's his kingdom. It's his glory. It's his power. You know, I tell you what, talking about the king, kings come and kings go, don't they? Kings have a jurisdiction and they have subjects. They have a rule and they have a reign. And they have they rule their kingdom based on their own will, their sovereign will. My friends, we live in America, don't we? We have no idea what it's like to live under a sovereign king. king on a throne. And our ability and what we've been blessed with in our government, I'm not talking politics, in our government, we have been able to vote people in and vote people out that we didn't like. Or vote people in we did like and vote people out that we didn't. And for 240 plus years now we've done that. We don't know anything different. And that mindset of changing things based on our likes and dislikes has permeated into our Christian minds and how we operate in church. My friends, but I'm going to tell you today that God set His Son on the throne of His father David, and His son too, David. And He said He's both the root and the offspring of David. Come on now.
Amen.
He set Him up on that throne, and He sits there and He stands in that place of authority and sovereignty forever. And He rules His kingdom by His own rules, not how we think. He rules. And my friends, when Jesus Christ came, He said He came, and John the Baptist had the same message: the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know what? He said, when He told Peter, He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art Elias or one of the prophets." And He said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And He says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And my friends, I want you to know that it takes more than just the revelation of God for the church to continue. God's going to reveal Himself to the church, to individuals, when He borns them again by His Spirit. But friends, it takes confession to build the church, to have members. If everybody in here had been born again and yet never had confessed their love for God and their identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and made a public profession to follow Him and to be with those saints that love Him and to conduct their lives in the manner that Jesus taught us, to live our lives after the kingdom principle, there wouldn't be anybody in the church, would it? If they didn't confess with their mouth and live their life that way. My friends, I want you to know God's still on the throne.
Amen.
What a dedication prayer. My prayer for this place. I appreciate what Brother Steve said about 200 years ago preaching the same thing. Brother Mike's preaching the same thing them old brethren did back in 1835 or 7 or whenever it was. My friends, my prayer is that God's people would hear a God-called minister preach God's word in God's house to the benefit of God's people for many until He comes back. And I pray. Now, He didn't guarantee that any local church would be there, did He? It takes confession, doesn't it? It takes loving each other. It takes walking in His ways. I pray that this church continues on until the Lord gives a shout.
Yes. Amen.
And He says, and He tells the Father, "Here am I and the children which You gave me."
Amen.
May God bless you is my prayer. Come on, Brother Josh. Preach to him.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. And in Him who saves you, by His strength and power, His glory above all.
You'd be hard to follow.
Oh, come on.
Look, the Lord is stronger than me.
Amen.
Great side.